that always says hi to her or always kind of smiles or something like that? Is the internet all connected and everything? Great. And she felt God saying to her, this person is a person of peace. Because we've learned, we learn and practice in our churches how to hear the voice of God, how to kind of go by his leading, that he speaks in thoughts, words, pictures, etc. And if you haven't learned that yet, begin to practice it in your groups. You know, being silent for a minute, asking what is God speaking to us, and then whoever's got a thought, a word, etc. So she's learned to hear the voice of God. So when she was there going to the school and prayer walking, she got to school and she saw this lady and she just sensed, maybe this is a person of peace. As she started walking back home, she saw where this lady lives because this lady lives close by and she saw this lady going to her house. She felt God say, knock on the door. So she didn't. She came home, but she still kind of thought, yeah, maybe I should knock on her door. And she'd see her each day at the school when she went and dropped the kids off and put the coats away. So one day she knocked on the door and the lady opened the door. Her name was Shani. She opened the door and she said, oh, hi, come in. Do you want a cup of tea? So, because she recognised her from the school. So my wife went into her house and she sat in the living room with this lady and was drinking a cup of tea. And my wife started to share her story. Her Jesus story, what Jesus had done in her life, which is a simple tool that you can learn to do. Learn to share your Jesus stories. What life was like before you knew Jesus, how you came to meet Jesus, and what's happened since. Or maybe you could share a story of something that Jesus has done in the last week in your life, or in the last month, or in the last day in your life. So it might not be your testimony in terms of your kind of coming to Christ story. It could be another story that Jesus has done. So my wife shared her story, which, as I said to you on Friday, involves abusive relationships, involves drink and drugs, and how Jesus set her free. As she was talking, this lady, Shani, started to cry. And there was things that my wife said that was touching her heart from my wife's story. And my wife said to her, "What, you know, why are you crying?" She said, "Because there's things you're saying that is like my life, certain aspects." And my wife said to her, "Do you want to know Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." So that's a good question, isn't it? Do you want to know Jesus? So, sharing your story and seeing what the response is. And then asking people, do they want to know Jesus? So she prayed with her, but she didn't just pray with her. She also said to her after the prayer, "Would you like me and my husband to come over each week with you, maybe starting this week, and eat some food with you and your family and explore this more?" And she said, "Yes." And my wife said, "What day can we come over?" And she said, "Sundays." So my wife came home all excited. "I met this lady," you know, my wife said before, "when's she going to get time?" And then she realised she could do it in the course of her everyday life. So she came back excited and she said, "Yeah, we're going on Sunday." So she said, "The lady's going to cook most of the food, but I said, we'll bring over a pizza." So we brought over a pizza, but they cooked most of the food. Anyway, we got to the house, knocked on the door, and the lady opened the door, but stood in the doorway. Like, their body language was like, "You can't come in." So we stood there, and she said, "Oh, hi. We can't really do this now," or something like that. And I said, okay. And I said, we bought this pizza anyway. So we gave her the pizza. And then she kind of said, "Oh, yeah, okay, bye." And then the door was shut. And then me and my wife were standing there. So what would you do then? Right. Oh, well done. Oh, my goodness. Revival is about to break open in Sweden. I tell you, that doesn't happen in UK. You guys are ready for movement. What happens in the UK would be like, "Oh, that didn't work. Go home, have a cup of tea, put on the TV," and something like that. So I said, instead of going back home, let's pray. I said, not only let's pray, but let's walk around the area and around the house and pray. Prayer walk. So me and my wife started praying, and I said to my wife, "Let's ask God what's going on. Why was she so open before and now not? And what do we need to do? So as we were praying, I said to my wife, what did you, and this is the benefit of going in twos to new people. So I said to my wife, what were you getting? And she said, there's fear, and it's to do with her partner who she lives with. He has said, you know, they're not coming in. And I said, I got the same thing. So this is learning to hear the voice of God, not only before you set out, but as you go. Also listening to instructions. So so that's the word of knowledge. You know, that's kind of like, what's going on? Yes, there's fear and it's the guy. But that doesn't tell you what to do. That just tells you what the issue is. So then you need wisdom. What are we going to do about that? So then I got, well, before you went in, it was just her. She was open. Maybe you need to go to her house again on your own. See what happens. So the next week at school, she saw this lady again, and the lady said, oh, I'm sorry about Sunday. And my wife said, maybe I could come home and see you again, maybe in the daytime and have a cup of tea again. And she said, oh, yeah, that's fine. So my wife went over again, but this time her partner was there when she arrived. Now the guy, they're not married, but she's got two children from a previous guy and one child, which is his child, and they live together. And he was there, and he's into music, and he was making all these beats on the computer, and my wife's into music. So he said, she said, what are you doing there? And he said, oh, this is the music that I'm making. So he played the music, and my wife started just singing, because she's like that. And he kind of warmed to this and said, oh, next time, bring your husband over. So then me and my wife went over to the house, and it was those two and their three kids, and sometimes her mum came over, and sometimes her nieces came over. And they would all, because it was like an oikos, it was a family. And on Sunday, they came together and had food together anyway. So when we was there, they were there. So we would start by being in the house. He would play some of his music. They might be watching the TV. We're chatting. And then she's in the kitchen making some food because she liked to cook for us all. She was acting like a person of peace. So she would cook this big Sunday meal. Then they'd come in and we'd all have the meal on our laps because there was no table. This style in this house was you eat the food like this. And we're eating, and that's when we began to bring in things like highs and lows. So we're saying, what are the highs of our week? What's the lows of our week? Turning the highs into thanks as we're eating, turning the lows into prayers. See how informal and unreligious it is? So we're bringing these things into natural everyday rhythms of life, including food. Food, we found that food is an important factor with people who are not church people. We don't want it to be like a Bible study or like a meeting. We want it to be like life with the seed being planted into it. So we were lowering the bar of this kind of religiosity. So food is really important. Now, some cultures, food might not be as important, so you might not eat food. But actually, most cultures it is. If it's a pub, it might be a drink instead of food. It might be food and drink. So, around food. So then, as we're finishing eating, I would read a scripture. Or my wife would read the scripture, or we'd get them to read the scripture, and we'd ask those four questions we talked about on the first night. What does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do? Who are we going to share it with? Unless we use the seven signs of John, which we've looked at here, and we use those questions that are on there. But for everything else, we ask those four basic questions. Now, it wasn't long before we read the story of baptism. We read some stories of baptism. We read one from the Gospels. I think it was John the Baptist baptizing people. We sometimes read Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. So we'll read a story like that and we ask four questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do? Who are we going to share it with? So she reread it and she said, I'm going to get baptized. What does it say? Here's water, get baptized. Why can't I get baptized? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to get baptized. It's pretty simple. So then the question is, well, who are you going to share this with? And yeah, well, I'll gather all my friends and family and we'll have a baptism party in my house. So I said, okay, how are you going to do that then? She said, well, we can get an inflatable pool, blow it up outside in the back garden, invite all my family and friends around for a party and baptise me in the back garden. So that's what we did. So there was about 15 or so people that came to that. And her niece came, and my wife met the niece, and my wife said something to her that was like very accurate into her life. She just said something to her, and this niece started crying at the baptism party. And my wife said, "Do you want to know Jesus?" She said, "Yeah." My wife said, "Do you want to be baptized?" She said, "Yeah." So she went upstairs, put on her auntie's clothes, and got baptized as well that day. It's really good, isn't it? It's great when we take these things outside of our churchiness and put it into the places where people are. Because then more people get baptized. So then one of the nieces wasn't there on that week. And she heard that her sister got baptized. "Oh, why haven't I been baptized?" So a couple of weeks later, she came over and the auntie baptized her. Oh dear, nearly swallowed that then. Who baptized who? The auntie. You see, we want to train people to be baptizers, not just to be baptized. Yeah. Like it says in Matthew 28:19, yeah. Go into the world, make disciples, baptizing them. So these kind of things spread rapidly. Let's look at a video of, yeah.
So now is she leading the group, or are you guys still?
Oh yeah, it's not as simple as that. Let's go back to the story then. These things are simple, but they're not easy. Right, so what happened next? Let me tell you some mistakes. So this is the good part, the mistakes. My wife found another person of peace somewhere else. And we thought I could stay with this group and she could start with another group. And I would relate to the man in this group. And he was into the gym. This is the story from the gym. As you can see, I'm not into the gym. So because I would do anything when it comes to making disciples and people of peace. So I started going to the gym with this guy. And be on the rolling machine and these kind of things. There was a period of time for about 3 months, about a couple of years ago, where I actually looked quite buff. And anyway, I would go with him. And because I was thinking, you know, well, my wife's gone somewhere else. It's hard for me to relate to the women on my own. So, the guy is there. I'll go with him, start to coach him, and he'll do the stuff with the group. So for 3 months, we'd go. And there was times when he was open. There were some really good moments in the group. But there was also times when it wasn't open. There would be times when I would arrive at the house and she would open the door and the group wouldn't be on because he wasn't there. And I'd say, "Where is he?" And she'd say, "I don't know." And he would sometimes go away for whole weekends. Right? And so I couldn't do the group because I was on my own as a guy, and it was her, the nieces, the mum and him, but he would not be there. So as I would go to the gym with him, I'd say, "Look, you know, I turned up again and you weren't there. I can't really begin this coaching if you're not there with the group. What's the problem?" "Oh, I'll be there next week. And then it started happening where he would be there, not more and more, he wouldn't be there. I turned up and it wouldn't happen. So after a period of time, I said to him, "Look, if I come this week and you're not there, that's it. Not going to waste any more time." He said, "Oh, no, I'm going to be there. So I got there, she opened the door with a disappointed face. "He's not here." So that was it. So the group stopped. So she'd been baptized. The two nieces been baptized. He already had some encounter in the past with God where he'd been baptized, but he wasn't kind of moving forward. But they hadn't been. So, the other thing was the mother was coming, and 1 week I felt to read from the scriptures the book of Revelation where it talks about us all standing before the throne of God. I just felt to read that, and I read it and said, "What does it mean? What are we going to do about it?" And she's just burst out and said, "I'm going to hell." And it didn't even say that in the passage. I said, "Oh, right." It's like, oh. And I said, why do you think that? And she said, "Because I've done lots of really terrible things, or, you know, I've done things." And so then I had the opportunity to share the good news of the kingdom. And she said she wanted to receive this good news of why she had been rescued from hell and how she's received forgiveness, if she wants it. So she said she did. So I led her in prayer. But she was quite, she has some kind of illness. I can't remember what it was, but it was an illness that she didn't feel she could get into water because she had pain. So we didn't baptize her. So the lady came to Christ, the two nieces and the mother, but hadn't been baptized yet. But the guy had already had some kind of baptism experience in the past. And I was discipling him, but he wasn't wanting to be discipled, although he didn't say that. So the group stopped. After about 9 months, I started kind of sensing, so there was nothing. The group stopped, nothing. So after about 9 months, I was sensing this guy again, and it kept coming into my thoughts, and I said to God, do you want me to meet this guy again now? And I said, if you do, let something happen. So I walked down the street, and who was coming towards me? The same guy. So he came, I said, oh, hi, I was just thinking about you, praying about you. And he said, oh, you've got to come to my house again. Since you've stopped coming, everything's gone wrong. So I said, okay, I'm going to come. But this time, I'm only going to come to your house for 6 weeks and coach you, and then I'm going and you're going to do the group. And if I come during that time and you're not there, I'm not going to keep wasting my time and coming. So I went the first week, and it was like heaven on earth. He was there, the family was there again. We prayed, and this time the presence of God was strong in the room. Really, like, they could feel, and he was crying and things, you know. And then the next week, he wasn't there. So then, after 2 weeks of this, it stopped again. I was like, well, what's going on there? Do you know what was going on? Who was the person of peace? The woman.
Yeah.
So that was a mistake. My wife should have continued to go with me and actually coach her and her family. It was all her family, her side of the family that was coming to Christ. A mistake. It comes out a couple of months later that he was going to another city, sleeping with another woman and had a kid with another woman. So that's what he was doing when he was away. So he was not the person of peace, and I made the mistake. All is lost. No. Because recently what's happened is my wife met the grandma who was ill and said to the grandma, how are you doing? And she said, well, I've been a bit unwell, but I still... And my wife said to her, do you want to know Jesus? And she said, oh, I already accepted Jesus when your husband prayed for me before. And actually, when I was ill, he prayed for me, and I felt better. So my wife said to her, well, do you want to meet? Do you want to know more? Do you want to meet? So the mum of the person of peace. So my wife started meeting her in her flat and took another worker. And then they started gathering again, and Shani comes to the group again. So the nieces come to the group again. That was after about a 2-year gap. So it started up again. So we're in a new cycle now. We'll see what happens. Yeah, there's good things and there's difficult parts. But a lot of the mistakes are ours. That was just a simple mistake of ours. Just learning. She was the person of peace and was to go in twos and continue to be in twos until it's established. But anyway, was there any other... What was the point of all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can't remember what the point... Anyway... So there's a group going now where my wife is coaching another pioneer who's going to that group, and we're in the middle of it, the next phase. So
the next step is that your wife will leave the group.
My wife's already left the group, but is still coaching the pioneer who's... The pioneer really is behaving a little bit like a person of peace. The pioneer actually lives in that area. Sometimes it's messier than it seems. Now that it's in the grandma's house, it's got a different dynamic. She's very unwell. But the pioneer, Sharon, is going to that group. She's actually staying in that group at the minute, and my wife's coaching this other lady, and they're gathering their people. So, yeah. And that's still going now. And when I get back, I'll find out more of what's... It's only just started again recently. So that's that situation. I'll show you another video. Let me see if I can find it first. Oh, yeah, it's here. So this is another lady in the team in Nottingham. This lady is called Donna. Donna is more of a person of peace. And she got a sense from God to start meeting international people. And she came across an evangelist who had met some Czech families from the Czech Republic, Czech Gypsy Romani families. And this evangelist said, yeah, we met this family because they needed some food or something like that. So Donna went to this people's house, but Donna is kind of behaving like a person of peace. She's gone there and she's kind of staying there at the minute. And you can see what they do when they meet together in this video. See if you could notice what.
Hello, come in.
An interesting story. I was praying around September, October last year, and I felt that God was showing me I needed to connect with people from different cultures, because Nottingham has many cultures, not just English, but Czech people, African, Asian. About 2 weeks later, I had contact with a lady who was an evangelist, and she said there was a family who lived in the block of flats near where I was prayer walking. But by the time I got in touch with them, they'd actually moved here. So God kind of led me on a rambling journey, but eventually we met.
We speak with Donna, pray, go now. We even eat, talk, so we go outside helping people. Like for my cousin, I prayed last time. And after I prayed mine for my dad.
We communicate with lots of laughter, and then we read a portion of scripture. We normally pray for one another. We like to listen to God, so sometimes we'll close our eyes, we'll see if God gives us any pictures or any words. We always eat together, and normally we ask each other, how's the week been? The children will tell me about how things have been at school. We do something called Truth and Dare. So every week I've asked the group, based on something we've read in the Bible, to share something with their friends or to pray for a family member perhaps.
Every Friday, pray
now. Right now.
It's simple when you know how. Obviously, with this family, there's the mum, there's the uncle, there's a couple of adults, and lots of kids. So Donna goes to their house. Donna's not in that community. She's gone to the house, but Donna is really, in her characteristics, more a person of peace. So she's kind of gone there, yes, into another culture, but she's kind of the person who's in that group facilitating it quite a lot. So it depends on your character. Now, if it was up to me, I would say don't do that. I would say go there, plant the thing, raise up the indigenous leader and move on. And actually, that's better. But some people just decide that they're not going to do that. But it's still better than nothing. So, you know, these are families that not coming to church, not coming to simple churches. I mean, it's like a simple church. But, I mean, people don't even use those phrases all the time anyway. People who are Christians do. Did you notice what they did? What did they do when they met together? They ate, yep. Anything else? They prayed, yep. They read the Bible, and what did they do? They laughed, yeah. They shared life, what was going on in their week. Anything else?
Truth and dare.
They played truth and dare, which is when they experienced truth from God, when they listened to him, or they read it in the scripture, they asked each other what they were going to do, dare each other to do about it. Obedience-based discipleship. Yeah. Great. So, you know, this is quite simple. Now, did it look like a Bible study? You know, just going and reading the Bible, like a Bible study. Did it look like a church meeting? But they were doing these things. So it's important that we sow the practices, but not our churchiness into these groups as far as possible, as far as it depends on us. Okay. In your groups, in your churches that you are part of now, how are you going to begin to train your people to start this process? So if you talk to each other about that for 2 minutes while I get the next thing. In your simple churches, organisations, how are you going to begin to train the Christians to do these simple things? Okay, let's come together again. So you might have remembered me saying on Friday night that Saturday was going to be quite a lot of content. Quite a lot. It's going to be more of a packed day looking at these kind of concepts. And so there may be a lot to take in. Remember that you can go away and start to reflect on some of these things. You can start to discover things from Scripture. And you can begin to wrestle through with your communities. And in prayer, what are we going to do next in taking these principles into practice? So, culture. When we've decided what people group or place we're going to, whether we're going to go to those guys in the cinema that look like bikers, whether we're going to go to the guys that look like the MCs on the street, or the new age seekers, or your Somali neighbours, or people who are actually like you, but they're not Christians. When you decide who you're going to go to, you want to find a way to connect him with those people, and one thing you can do is go and hang out in the places where those people hang out. Or you can create a way of connecting in, like an event, or throw a party, or some other thing. So you're trying to understand their culture, and their ways, and their rhythms of life, their patterns of life. Yeah.
Like you say, if you focus on one certain group, but like if you go to streets, for example, and preach gospel, it's very hard just to focus on, because then they go to everybody. Like.
This comes down to the thing of which people groups or places.
Yeah, okay.
So some people, like you are called to a place, maybe you're called to your city, Uppsala,
yeah.
Which means you'll be going to around your city, just spreading it to lots of people, and your gifting is more on the evangelistic end. But some people will be more niched and focused on trying to find people groups within a certain sector. Like, for example, Rickard's been saying a lot to me, I really feel called to reach Muslims, is one people group. Now, that's not the only one. There might be like three people groups that people are focused on. But it's good to know. If I'm wanting to reach Muslims then, and it's in Helsingborg, the question would be, where do those people meet and how are we going to connect in?
The mosque.
Yeah, the mosque would be one place. There's sometimes certain restaurants, etc. So you want to be thinking, which people group is it and how are we going to connect? Where do those people meet? What do those people do? We talk about tribes. There's different kinds of tribes, subcultures, different kinds of groups. And the questions would be around tribes. What do they do? Where do they live? Where do they work? Where do they play? Where do they go? What do they buy? What do they wear? You know, it's those kind of things. Trying to understand the culture and the rhythms of those people. This comes back to the incarnational mission thing that sometimes I have a little bit of a joke with, just to play with people. So nice middle-class people move into rough areas. That's good. But then the people in those rough areas, the summer is the best time to engage in mission with those people groups. But the middle-class people have their time off in the summer. Interesting. So this whole thing of, are we moving from moving into a neighbourhood to understanding the cultural rhythms of the people? Because there's no point in doing the opposites of the people we're trying to connect with. So, you know, with the people group, it's good to understand the rhythms of life. Where do they meet? What do they do when they have a day off? What do they like to eat? This is just to connect. We don't want to become the leaders of their groups, so we don't need to take it. We don't need to go overboard necessarily. But we want to actually find a way of connecting in the first place. Let's move on to preach. So one simple way, remember that we're looking at this process from Luke 10. So once you begin to engage with the people or connect with people or gather people, how are you going to bring up spiritual conversation into that setting? You could do the more forefronting, bold thing, to stand up and preach. You could offer people prayer on the streets like these guys do. But there's other ways as well, and we're going to look at some other ways. Learn to share stories. There's three main stories that you can learn to share, simple stories. So these are the people that you're meeting, and you want to touch their hearts through stories, like Jesus did. The first thing is that we can listen to people and ask questions. So we've gone to the restaurant where the Muslims are and we're beginning to hang out there. We're beginning to find a way of connecting with those Muslims. How might we connect? We might offer prayer. We might connect by buying people food in that restaurant. We might connect, go to a pub and buy everyone a drink. We might set up a sign in the cafe saying, tell me your story. We're trying to find a way. How are we going to connect in as pioneers? Once we've connected with people in some way, you know, you talked about earlier, you connected through doing video stories of musicians. You hung out where they were. So you found a connecting bridge access point in. So then once you've done that, you want to listen to people and ask questions like Jesus did. Listen to people. How's your week been? What's been good? What good has happened in your life this week? And then we're listening, asking more questions, listening. Next thing, listen to their story. Like that guy did. Oh, tell me a bit about you. Tell me a bit about your story. I'd love to know a little bit more about you. What are you passionate about? What's your dream? Those kind of things. Where did you grow up? Tell me a bit about your family. So we're listening to their story. So we're listening, asking questions and hearing their story. Then we can share our story. It's good for you to learn to share your story like we mentioned earlier. So one story you can share is before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and since you met Jesus. Or you can learn to share what Jesus has done in your life in this last couple of weeks. So, get into twos. Let's practice. Let's do it now. Choose a two. Let's go for it. I know this is the part that Christians love. It's kind of like the evangelistic part. Yeah. You love it, don't you? Right. Right, there's some rules to this game. Once you've found your partner, and it really works in twos, if you're in a three, move and find another person. Put your hand up if you're in a three and you need a two. Find another one, quickly. Okay, choose who's going to go first. And within a minute, we're going to set the timer. Let's do 2 minutes. You're going to share your Jesus story, and you can choose what that is. It's either the story of before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and since Jesus, or it's another story of something that Jesus has done in your life. And you're doing that trying to not use religious language. So you practice it, you say it to the person, and then we'll stop in about 2 minutes. And then I'll give the next instruction. So you just start with one person. You've got 2 minutes. Starting from now. Okay, stop. This is the end of that part of the game, no matter where you got to in your story. Okay, so now the person who is listening, you need to say to the person what was good about what they shared and what did you not understand because they used religious phrases. Okay, go. Okay, stop. Now it's the second person's turn. The next person now will share their story, and you've got 2 minutes. Go. Okay, stop. So the person who was listening, what was good about the story in terms of the way it was communicated? Where was there religious words that need to be worked on? If there's quite a few involved, it won't take very long.
Yeah, well, I think they should just take all their trash off the table anyway, just put it into the trash cans. That's a good start anyway. And somebody goes wipe the tabletops before we start. You do have to clean the floor as well. So we'll take probably, and I would say,
okay.
An hour.
Right, we'll come to a close there. But in your teams and in your churches, simple communities and church organizations, it's good to practice sharing your stories in your groups. So that then you're ready when you go out amongst either the people that you're trying to find or when you're gathering people. that you're learning to share stories. So we're listening to their story, and then we're sharing our story. A first story that we can learn to share is God's story, Jesus' story. One way that we can do that, there's many ways, but one simple way for people who are not necessarily very pioneering is using the seven signs of John that we looked at earlier. You've all got that here? The seven signs of John? Discover the seven signs of John? When you meet people, you can learn to tell these stories. You can learn to tell the story in the book of John, where they turn water into wine. There's ways that you can learn to tell the story orally, which I haven't got time to go into so much now, but you can Google it if you want, oral Bible storying. But basically, I tell the story, then you get into twos and tell the story to each other from memory, and one person says to the other what they missed. And then you tell it back to the group again, and usually it's pretty accurate. You can learn to do oral storytelling like that. But even if you're not doing that, you can use the scripture, you can use your phone, and when you meet people, you can say, I'd like to, now that you've shared your story and I shared mine, I'd like to share another story. Especially if you can see that they're open. If you've already met the person of peace, that's the first things that we're doing anyway, these kind of things. So when we start meeting the person of peace, we would use one of the signs of John. You do have seven signs of John, which you can Google, and you've got it here anyway. You could also Google seven stories of hope, is another one. There's lots of different starting points. This one we found effective. You could also find seven stories of hope effective. Anything that is the scripture that leads people to Jesus directly. So we want people to discover Jesus. Now, another technique would be to start from creation. Some people use a method called from creation to Christ. Some would say that when you're working with Muslim cultures or Hindu or someone else, you need to start further back than Jesus. Maybe you could, if you feel like that, you could Google from creation to Christ. And it's basically a list of scriptures. You'd go from creation through to Christ, stories that lead you towards Christ from the Old Testament to the New. But in my experience, I found that you can start with seven signs of John and get there quickly. But depends on what kind of people group, I suppose, you're working with. So we learn to listen to their story, share our story like we just did. And one story that you can use is the seven signs of John stories, and actually say the story and ask these questions, or read the story and ask these questions. Great. Then we come to power. Last thing I'll mention before we start winding down for the day. When you meet people, you listen to their problems, their stories, and turn their problems into prayers. So you're listening to their story. I'm having trouble with my son. I can't get a job, whatever it is. And you say, would you like me to pray for you? That's one way of turning a problem into a prayer. Another way is just saying, I'll pray for you. So one way is asking. One way is just saying, I'll pray for you now. Another way is just saying, Jesus, help that person now. So you just move straight into it. So when you do that, you see what their reaction is. Are they open or closed? If they're open, what do you say? Would you like to hear more? Where can we meet you? Who else is interested? If you tell the story and they're open, would you like to know more? Where can I meet you? Who else is interested? So this is how we get into finding the person of peace. What do you do when you meet the person of peace? Meet with them, eat with them, and start this process of seven signs of John. One story each week. And ask the question, who are you going to share this with? So it's always going to lead to group. What do you do when you finish this? Start reading baptism stories. Yeah, because that's what we want, isn't it? What happens if you get to week three and they already want Jesus? Start baptism stories there and then. What if you get to week two and you sense that they're ready for Jesus? Share baptism stories. Now, stories are better than theology, because we're sowing seeds amongst new people. So pick a story from the book, Gospels on baptism, or a story from the book of Acts. Read the story and we ask four questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What we're going to do? Who we're going to share it with? That should give you enough to get going for the next couple of weeks. What happens when we've met with them and done Jesus stories and they want Jesus, and we've done baptism and they want baptism, and now they've got their group? What do we do when the group meets together? I'm glad you asked. We'll look at that tomorrow. Okay, let's stand and we'll do something else and then we'll go.